Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Deadline for early summer registration is July 22nd. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, when it started, it was the first time, it was way back in 1973, no one imagined it would become the Iowa tradition it is now. No one guessed that was the genesis of what has become today the oldest, largest, and longest recreational bicycle touring event in the world. Well, of course, I'm talking about RAGBRAI, the Register's annual Great Bicycle Ride Across Iowa. Now in its 47th year, this Sunday morning, thousands of riders will depart from Iowa's western border city of Council Bluffs on the Missouri. 7 days later, thousands of riders will dip their tires in the Mississippi, in Keokuk, on our southeastern border. And I will be among those riders. I've ridden RAGBRAI across the state 4 times, sometimes through blistering heat, once through a freakish icy rainstorm in July. This year, though, I'm setting out to do something new on RAGBRAI. I'll be taking you along on this program with daily highlights and a new podcast called Bike Shorts. So you'll be able to join me as I pedal across Iowa with members of NPR's famed RAGBRAI team, No Pie Refused. The leader of that team for a long time has been NPR Chief Economics Correspondent Scott Horsley, who is joining us now live from Washington. Scott, welcome to the program.
Ben, it's great to be with you. I have to say, I'm not really the leader of the team.
Okay.
We've got a flat structure there. We have a very flat structure. Exactly.
Okay.
We're a herd of cats.
Okay, very good. So let me get this straight. You and the others take vacation from NPR to pedal across Iowa at what is usually the hottest, most humid part of our summer. Why?
That's right. But even so, it's still always a little bit cooler in Iowa than it is here in D.C. And I think that's true this year as well. I know you guys are suffering through a heat wave just as we are.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, and I'm delighted to hear that forecast at the top of the hour.
Isn't that
it's
nice?
It's kind of supposed to break Saturday
yes.
night.
Yes.
And I was looking at the early part of next week. Looks pretty good. Whereas here in D.C., we're stuck in this 100-degree feels-like index for at least another week.
Yes,
so
you are built on a swamp there, so yeah.
That's right. We will be leaving the sweltering heat and humidity of Washington for the slightly less sweltering heat and slightly less humid conditions of western Iowa.
So,
looking
Scott,
forward to it. Can't wait.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. And our little podcast experiment, I'm glad you're joining in on that. Take us back to how you got hooked on RAGBRAI.
You know, we the first year we did it was in 2013, the year after the 2012 presidential campaign. And of course, every 4 years, the politics team here at NPR spends a lot of time in Iowa, usually in the winter around caucus time, but throughout the year, as Iowa's become kind of a general election swing state as well. So we'd spend a lot of time in your fair state, but generally seeing it, you know, either from the back of a campaign bus or the windshield of a rental car, kind of racing around from one caucus site or campaign event site to another.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like, you know, we were probably missing some cool things in between. And I had read an article in the Wall Street Journal about RAGBRAI some years before that, where it was described as the only, you know, 400 or 500 mile bike ride where you gain weight. And that sounded like my kind of event.
Because
I'm a casual cyclist, but a highly competitive eater.
Right.
And so I'd kind of filed that clip away. And in 2013, right after the 12 election, we said, this is the year to do it. And to be honest, we kind of thought it was going to be a one and done bucket list type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had so much fun. We've been back every year since. I missed the 2016 ride because it happened to coincide with one of the conventions, which seems just bad planning on the convention's part to me, because we all know
right.
when RAGBRAI is going to be. It's going to be the last full week in July. So I thought they could have steered around that.
Right.
But even that year, we had a representation from the No Pie Refused team. So this will be our seventh year for NPR.
Mm-hmm. And you're partnered up with the team Groucho. They're led by Bill Danforth, and that's a wonderful team. So you've kind of paired up there.
That's right, and that was a total serendipity. We bumped into Bill. Initially, we bumped into Bill's daughter, Megan, and then Bill and the rest of the family our first year in 2013. And we kind of got to, just as Brag by Riders know, you kind of make friends all along the way, and then you see the same people year after year. I guess we, even in a sea of 10 or 20,000 people, I guess because we all ride at the same pace, you keep bumping into the same five or six people year after year.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
The ones who ride at your pace, in my case, it's usually sort of at the back of the pack. And in 2015, we just joined forces with Team Groucho for the first time. Before that, we'd been camping, and Team Groucho has a great system where they line up host families in all the towns. So that's another way to enjoy it, and it adds kind of an extra dimension because it lets us get a little bit even woven more closely into the Iowa fabric.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the No Pie Refuse team. You are on it.
It's always an evolving team. Every year we come back and we talk about it so much both before and after the ride that other people who are in earshot, and that's a lot of people here at NPR, say, "Oh, I want to do it. I want to do that next year." So we're constantly getting infused with newcomers, and then lots of returning people as well. And then, of course, people do have other commitments or other reasons why, for some reason, they can't do it. For example, a number of our folks who've ridden with us in recent years are taking this year off because they're having babies. I don't know why they would decide to do that, but Camilla Domonoski, who was a key member of our team last year, she was actually, her due date was next Wednesday, and I had suggested, you could still ride Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but she thought, no, that wasn't such a good idea. And then as it turned out, Camilla and her husband, they got a little early surprise. Last weekend, their little boy arrived. And so then I thought, well, okay, you've had the baby now, so you could do the whole week. But again, they have other plans. But we have a great team this year. Richard Harris, one of my science reporting colleagues, is going to be with us. Les Cook, a business editor. Ned Wharton, who's one of the producers on Scott Simon's weekend show. Smokey Bear, the late, great producer from All Things Considered, who retired after last year's ride. He retired from All Things Considered, but he's still part of Team No Pie Refuse, so he'll be back with us this year. James Dubeck, who is one of our digital writers, and I'm sure. Michael Zamora, who is now a visual producer here at NPR. Last year, he was part of the Des Moines Register's team, but after we beat the Register team in the rhubarb rumble pie eating contest, Michael decided to switch sides. He left the Register, joined NPR, so he'll be back with us. He'll be riding with us this year. We're not entirely sure which team he's going to be eating for, because he may want to eat in the pie eating contest with his old Register teammates, and we respect that kind of loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Also on the team, Iowa Public Radio's Clay Masters. For the first time, he's a newbie. We'll be talking with him in just a few minutes. But among the people coming from NPR in Washington, to be a newbie is something. You have to.
Tried to talk Clay into it for a few years, and this is the first year we managed to twist his arm enough. We've bumped into Clay many times along the ride. And we're delighted to have him with us. He's going to raise the average height of our team by about 6 inches, I think, and probably his speed, too.
We also
have Kyle Munson, right, who's another former Register columnist. He was kind of the descendant of the guys who started RAGBRAI in terms of his portfolio as a Register columnist. And he's left the Register, and he's ridden with us for the last year, and he'll be back with us again. Of course, he also eats for the Register team in the pie eating contest.
Right, and he'll be not on deadline, as he says, this time, because he's been writing when he was with the Register. He was coupled with writing columns every day while on the thing. So I'm kind of a kindred spirit this year with Kyle. I'll be producing, hosting a podcast every day, as he was doing a column every day. Tell us about, what do you think about this year's route? Have you been on a Southern route before? You have, haven't you?
Yeah, in fact, this is kind of reminiscent of the route we did in 2013. That year also started in Council Bluffs. And the first few days sound kind of similar to the route we rode in 2013. That year we went through Des Moines. This year will be, I think that was the first time in a long time they'd been through the capital there. This year we'll be going just south of Des Moines through Indianola. But we're going through a number of towns. I think we passed through Neola on the first day again this year. We did that in 2013. We're going through a number of towns that we have been to before. West Point, I know, towards the end of the ride on the eastern side, is on the route this year. in 2013, that was the penultimate town. It was we had 12 miles to go when we stopped in West Point, and we rode those last 12 miles so slowly, even though it was a pretty steep downhill, because we didn't want the ride to end. So there'll be a lot of familiar spots this year, but also lots of new towns too that we've not been to, and that's really neat, you know, because it adds some variety in addition to the corn on the left, soybeans on the right kind of variety.
Right. We have just a minute left, but give us quickly highlights that you have for Team NPR that we can look forward to hearing about on our podcast, Bike Shorts, and on this program next week.
Well,
quickly.
We're really excited. We have some wonderful host families that we're going to be staying with. There's a great couple in Centerville that's putting up our team this year, who are actually Washington transplants. So we're excited to bring them some Washington spirit. And then towards the end of the ride, we're actually going to get to stay in the hometown of the author of the Sand County Almanac. So we're really looking forward to that.
Oh, excellent. Well, we'll be looking forward to having you here in Iowa. I understand on Saturday you'll be getting on board a plane with your bike, of course.
Actually, my bike is already there.
Okay. Others' bikes are coming.
A few years ago, I finally wised up and realized I was spending as much every year to ship my bike back and forth across the country as it would just cost to buy a new bike. So I left a bike there and bought another bike here in D.C.
Scott Horsley, I expect we'll see each other Saturday night on the eve of Rag Bri, the 47th in this year, 2019. Scott Horsley, NPR's chief economics correspondent and a Rag Bri enthusiast. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Hey, look forward to riding with you, Ben.
Me too.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, we're talking about Rag Bri 2019, and more specifically, IPR's new podcast, Bike Shorts, River to River on Two Wheels. You can join me as I journey across Iowa with members of NPR's famed Rag Bri team, No Pie Refused, NPR. As we just heard, I'll be joined by NPR Chief Economics Correspondent Scott Horsley, also others, Richard Harris, others from NPR, but also Iowa Public Radio's Clay Masters and former Iowa columnist for the Des Moines Register, Kyle Munson. They join me now. Clay, Kyle, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Great to be here. Great to be talking bikes, bike shorts, Rag Bri.
Hey, Ben.
I want this 10 minutes to be a little different than I usually conduct the show. We're all journalists, the three of us. So instead of me being the primary source of the questions, let's just have a free-for-all with questions and answers for all of us, okay?
This interview is over.
We're going to go biking. Well, no, this will be my ninth consecutive Rag Bri, although I'm, you know, off deadline, as I was last year, and enjoying it with Team No Pie Refused and Team Groucho.
Right.
But this will be Clay's first Rag Bri.
Yeah.
How's it been just getting ready, Clay, for your first ride?
Well, I think we should set this up first. So the first time that I moved to Iowa in 2012. And in 2013, that was the first summer I was hosting Morning Edition, and I got word that these three guys from NPR, Scott Horsley, Brian Naylor, and Don Gagne, were all going to be doing Rag Bri. National correspondents coming out to Iowa, biking across the state. A colleague of mine, John Pemble, and I went down there, and we interviewed him for a segment on Morning Edition. It was the first time that they had done this. And ever since then, I've always thought, man, I would like to have an opportunity to do this. And because of covering campaigns and hosting Morning Edition, it's just been year after year of not being able to be a part of it. And as it has grown and more people from NPR have started showing up and doing this together, I've continued to want to be a part of it. And this was the first time that it worked into my schedule. And how has it gone for me finally that I'm a part of Team No Pie Refused? I'm a runner, but biking is completely different in the sense that it's not as hard on your legs and your knees. So, that's been pretty nice. But, I mean, like, the idea of an entire state to bike across, I mean, everybody keeps telling me it's like a big party, but it's still
it's daunting. It's daunting. Yeah, it's daunting. I've done, Kyle, you have more than twice as many as I have. I've been the whole week four times. And you talked about legs, Clay. Kyle, chime in on this. Training your legs is only one aspect. Training your buttocks, if I can say so, your rear end is equally important, isn't it, Kyle?
Yeah, I've learned so many hard lessons just riding Rag Bri about how to bicycle correctly. I mean, the first day, the first year that I rode, I was not shifting properly, right? And so by the end of the day, I could barely walk because my knees were just screaming at me. I wasn't, you know, I was struggling up the hills thinking I was being so tough and that was, you know, somehow going to make me a tougher bicyclist. But so many, many mistakes like that. And you're right. So it's not just the endurance, it's the technique. And you kind of learn from the herd gradually. And I've done that along the way. And plus many visits to the chiropractor.
What is the appeal? You've written about so many great columns about RAGBRAI when you were on Deadline, accompanying the ride, putting out columns. What do you see as the chief appeals of RAGBRAI?
Well, I've always said it was one of my most inspiring creation stories as a journalist, because here you had, you know, a couple of columnists, writers, copy editor, who created this thing on a whim. It wasn't a committee creation, and it allows everybody in the middle of the summer to make it their own story, and that still holds true. And so it's not just one RAGBRAI, it's a million different RAGBRAIs all mingling and as they swarm across the prairie, and that's the magic. It allows everybody to become the central character in their own odyssey, and when you have that kind of a cultural magic that just that springs up, it just rolls with the time. And so here we are with the 47th annual version.
Mm-hmm. Clay, as you are new to the week-long RAGBRAI journey experience, at this point, before we start out, what are you most concerned about?
Trying to have enough content to talk about for this new podcast called Bike Shorts.
Don't worry about that. We've got okay. A lot of inputs from Team NPR.
No, I don't know. The heat. I mean, yes. It's we're in excessive heat warnings right now. And I mean, as somebody who regularly has to talk about the weather every morning, as I've been saying, excessive heat warning, I've been thinking, gosh, I'm going to be sitting on a bicycle riding across the state. Hopefully these temperatures go down as it's looking like they're forecasted
really?
To do.
Really?
But don't jinx us.
Don't jinx us, but not too much. I mean, it's still going to be pretty hot. But
right.
I mean, that's the most thing that's the thing that I'm the most, I guess, concerned about.
Well,
right
let's now. Talk. Let's talk about the rain, because Clay and I have done a couple training
right.
rides, and
that's
one
right.
of them we went out on the beautiful Raccoon River Valley Trail west of the Des Moines Metro, and we were heading west, and we thought, hey, we're going to loop the entire trail, maybe ride, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 miles today.
But of me regularly going, is this what it's going to be like, Kyle? Kyle, is this what it's going to be like? Yeah, Clay, keep biking. Yeah. Is this what it's going to be like?
Yeah. Except with more pie stands and more people. But we ended up, long story short, we ended up biking about, what, half of the ride in the rain. So
That's all part of it, isn't
that's
it?
That's all part of it.
It was pouring rain.
Right. Kyle, you and I have both been through rainstorms on RAGBRAI. Back to that heat concern, it looks like we may have dodged that stint of really hot weather, but Kyle, I'm sure you've experienced it too. I did in 2012, a really hot year, another southern route like we have this year, and I remember on blistering afternoons when the heat indexes were over 100, and I don't think a half an hour went by between the times that I heard ambulances.
Yeah, that's the RAGBRAI organizers and my good friends who run this ride. I know that they are thankful when we don't have extreme heat warnings, because I was on that 2012 ride, the 40th ride. Mm-hmm. I remember the huge celebration in downtown Cedar Rapids that year. That makes everything more difficult. But although I will say, you know, again, there were a million different RAGBRAIs. So even on I remember one of those blazingly hot days, maybe the Wednesday in the middle of the week, for some reason, that was one of my best days of riding that week, even though the heat was just extreme and I thought my tires were going to fuse to the pavement. But it just, it's not only the weather, it's like, how did you sleep last night? When was your last piece of blueberry pie? I mean, sometimes everything just congeals and you have a perfect day, even when the weather is horrible.
Kyle, what is a favorite vivid memory of a year past? I'll just start off by sharing one of mine. I think it was on that 2012 or 2013 year. We came across some farmland, and the farmer had a huge, beautiful pond and invited people to swim in it. And all of a sudden, it became not only a swim fest, but a nude swim fest where people were peeling off their jerseys and their bike shorts.
Wow.
And it did happen on RAGBRAI.
Yeah, I was just saying before the interview that I have not checked that off my Ragbri bucket list yet. I've so far remained clothed during the ride. But one of my favorite memories is the home host. So I don't camp. I don't use a tent on Ragbri because if I'm going to be out on the bicycle all day, I want to be indoors and air conditioning at night, at least on a floor.
Yeah.
And so I love getting to know the people in every community.
Yep.
And last year with Team No Pie Refused and Groucho, they had this ritual I had never quite experienced before, where every night they gather around in a circle with the home host and they have their own little team ceremony. Mm. And it's really meaningful, really special. Everybody has like a little token, something that represents what they do or who they are or what's important to them. And everybody has this sharing circle. And it's part, like I say, it's part meaningful ritual, part comedy routine. And that was just amazing to be a part of that last year. So I'm looking forward to that again this year.
Mm-hmm. Quickly, let's talk about the route. In the next half hour, we'll be talking with representatives of some of these little towns. Comment on the route, Clay and Kyle. We have Council Bluffs to Atlantic to Winterset, Indianola, Centerville, Fairfield, Burlington, ending up in Keokuk. Of course, those are only the main overnight towns, the Keokuk being the last one. Plenty of towns that I didn't name that are in between all of those.
I'm excited because I have a map on my wall of my cubicle where I put pens in every part of the state, every city, every town that I've ever covered something in. And there's a lot in central Iowa. There's a lot in the northwest, the northeast, in the eastern part of the state. The southern part of the state, I haven't seen a whole lot of. I've been in Iowa for 7 years. I've been a Midwesterner my entire life with family in Iowa, but I just have not spent a lot of time in southern Iowa. So I'm really excited about this route, and this is the one that I happen to be on, to just see more of the state that I haven't seen before. That's what I'm most stoked about, and to have plenty of time to get a good look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kyle, a minute or so left. Comment on this year's route.
Well, it's one of the interesting things was when TJ Jeskowitz and the organizers unveiled it, they initially announced Burlington, which is on the Mississippi River, so people assuming that was the end. But no, it's a special sort of a year where they go to Burlington, and then the last day goes along the Mississippi down to Keokuk. So that's a unique feature. But it's 427 miles overall, the eighth easiest route, technically, if you nice. Know, multiply mileage by feet. So, yeah.
Picked a good year.
Yeah, picked a good year.
There you go.
And 14,735 feet of climb. So Iowa is not that flat when you take it hill by hill on a bike.
You two will feature prominently, no doubt, in Bike Shorts, our podcast to premiere next week. Thanks for this preview. With your thoughts, Clay Masters and Kyle Munson will be talking a lot and perhaps sweating a lot and no doubt
so.
Pedaling a lot next week. See you then.
All thanks, right. Ben.
All right. Thanks.
You can subscribe to Bike Shorts, our newest IPR podcast, by using your favorite podcast platform. Just search for Bike Shorts and subscribe so you don't miss any installment. Coming up in just a moment, we'll hear from four of the overnight towns on this year's route: Council Bluffs, Winterset, Fairfield, and Burlington. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, a special Ragbri 2019 edition.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Deadline for early summer registration is July 22nd. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking this hour about the annual bike ride across Iowa known as Ragbri, the Register's annual Great Bicycle Ride Across Iowa, this year in its 47th year, founded way back in 1973 by two Des Moines Register columnists, John Karras and Donald Call. They thought it was a one-and-done thing, as to quote Scott Horsley from last half hour, but it turned out to be a phenomenon. Now it is, it's the oldest, largest, and longest recreational bike touring event in the world. This year, 427 miles in total, the route, 14,735 feet of climb. This half hour, we're going to talk with four of the host cities, the overnight cities, where they will be inundated with riders and their support vehicles and all the people attached with them one day in the coming week. I want to remind you that Bike Shorts is the name of a podcast we're launching. It will be a daily update. I'll be on the route with NPR's No Pie Refused team. We just spoke with Scott Horsley, a longtime member of that team, NPR's chief economics correspondent. He'll be on the team, so we hope you'll follow us. And you can subscribe to that podcast by going to your favorite podcast platform and searching for Bike Shorts. Of course, we'll have it here on River to River on regular old terrestrial radio next week as well during this hour. Let's check in with a few of the overnight host towns this hour to find out how they are preparing. First of all, let's go to the start-off city. It starts in Council Bluffs. Council Bluffs has been the start for many a RAGBRAI over the years. Mark Ekman is RAGBRAI publicity chair for Council Bluffs. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So I have to ask you, we've been hearing about flooding. How have they complicated your plans for instance, the tire dip?
Yeah, that's really impacted us a great deal. We decided, because of just how that flooding has been ongoing since March, to actually move it off of the river to the expo area close to the Mid-America Center. We thought that's going to be convenient, but it's also going to be safe, and it's not going to jeopardize anyone in terms of, you know, touching any contaminated water or just the mess that's along the river that's ongoing.
Mm-hmm. So talk about the challenges. Council Bluffs, of course, one of Iowa's larger communities, and then therefore better able to handle the influx of, 10,000 registered riders from all 50 states, some international people, along with all their support. What are your challenges?
Well, it's like everybody else, and with a larger community, and they are going through much of it as they depart on Sunday, is just really trying to find that space, because you just don't have a lot of idle property in any certain section to be able to accommodate so many campers and the amenities and everything. But like the last two other times that we've hosted here, most recently in 2009 and 2013, the festivities are going on around the Mid-America Center area, which is just off of Interstate 8029, and makes for a convenient place. Unfortunately, as some folks have observed, we don't have a lot of shade cover for this oppressive heat, but we're going to make do, and hopefully everyone will have a good enough time that they're not going to be overheated, and they're going to enjoy themselves Saturday and then kick off things on Sunday morning.
Right. We still may have a bit of that heat on Saturday. It looks, thankfully, as if the heat will fade a bit on into Sunday, right? So that's a relief for the rest of the towns, the rest of the RAGBRAI riders. And so you're feeling pretty good. Should we put anything on my list, on people's list, a must-do, must-see in Council Bluffs for RAGBRAI?
Yeah, there's actually three things that come immediately to mind. Although we're not going to have a tire dip on the Missouri River, you can access the Bob Carey Pedestrian Bridge, mm-hmm. which is a pedestrian bridge over the Missouri River, so riders can have a foot or a tire in Nebraska and Iowa at the same time, so that's a great photo op. We have the Union Pacific Railroad Museum open on Saturday between 10 and 4. It's an outstanding museum, and this year we're celebrating the 150th anniversary of the first Transcontinental Railroad. And for those folks who come in a little bit later and just looking for things to do on Sunday, as you proceed out of town, there's a great historic area called the 100 Block, which is going to be open and available for a breakfast stop if some folks want to fuel up on some carbs and some breakfast items. And then after 8 o'clock in the morning, if they want to imbibe a little bit and have a drink to kind of get them on their way, they can do that at the 100 Block in downtown Council Bluffs.
Mark Ekman, thank you for joining us. RAGBRAI Publicity Chair for Council Bluffs. Take care. Good luck handling all the riders.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Let's move from the west slightly to the east. Of course, Atlantic, the next overnight town. Then we come to Winterset, and we're joined from Winterset by Ellen Smith, RAGBRAI Publicity Chair for Winterset, Iowa. Hi, Ellen. Ellen, are you there?
I am.
Ah, now we can hear you. Very good.
Wonderful.
It's been a long time since Winterset was an overnight town hosting RAGBRAI riders, hasn't it?
It has. So the last time they were here was 1991. So it's been a full 28 years since RAGBRAI rolled through.
Okay. So this is more of a challenge for your town than, say, Council Bluffs, which we just spoke with. What does it look like? What are your biggest challenges?
So if you would have asked me that question yesterday, I would have had a completely different answer for you. But in the last 24 hours, we have found out that our headline act, Here Come the Mummies, which we were all very excited about, had to cancel a bunch of their shows the last couple weekends due to a band member injury.
No.
So,
oh.
Yeah, we're very disappointed, and I know they're disappointed, but we have an excellent entertainment committee, and they've been working very hard over these last 24 hours to fix the situation and find a new band. So we're excited to announce that the band Elton and Billy, the Ultimate Tribute Tour, will be joining us on Monday. And it's two guys who dress up like Elton John and Billy Joel and do dueling pianos and play all of their hits spanning this, you know, 30-year chart topper. So it should be really fun, even though the Mummies won't be here.
Winterset, Iowa, of course, well known as the birthplace of John Wayne. Anything connected with him, especially for RAGBRAI writers?
So we have an old, like one of the oldest theaters in Iowa here in Winterset, and they're going to be running a John Wayne movie that writers can stop in and see. We also are doing a special Winterset on Wheels landmark bike ride. It's less than a mile. It's very short and flat, but you can see a lot of things, including the John Wayne Birthplace Museum, as well as we're known for our covered bridges here. There was a movie called the Bridges of Madison County, so you can go out and see a bridge. George Washington Carver spent some time here. You can visit a memorial to him. And just, we have a Freedom Rock, and then George Stout, who was Monument Men guy, George Clooney played him. We have a monument to him. So you can see all of those wonderful things in town.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the work of organizing this for Winterset, your committee, you. How many weeks ago did you start here? I guess it was only announced in January what the overnight cities were, right? It's always held a close secret until January.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's late January. I think pretty much the next day we started planning. So a good 6 months of planning. We meet weekly. So it takes a lot of work for our committee. But we're excited about it. We're ready to have it here.
Mm-hmm. What is the impact on a community the size of Winterset? How many residents do you have in Winterset?
So our population is just over 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So when you add 20 more thousand people or whatever to it, it obviously makes a big impact. But thankfully, our community is so supportive of it. It has been 28 years since we got to have it before again, so we're ready for it to come back. People are stepping up to host, to volunteer, and just generally being available for our needs.
Okay, thank you very much. Ellen Smith is RAGBRAI Publicity Chair for Winterset, Iowa. I hope you'll find your final days of preparation go well, and you are ready for the wave of riders to enter town. They are entering town on Monday, right?
That's right.
Okay, Ellen Smith, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about RAGBRAI 2019, obviously, and working our way from west to east, as the riders do every year. I'll be on the ride this year, and we're experimenting with a podcast here at Iowa Public Radio. You can subscribe to that podcast by going to your favorite podcast platform and searching for Bike Shorts. Subscribe now so that you don't miss an installment of it. Of course, we'll be hearing it here on River to River as well through our good old-fashioned radio. Let's move off to Ron. Ron is with us in Fairfield. And, of course, Fairfield, we're getting toward the end, a couple end of the ride. Ron is with us. Ron Hunterdoss is publicity chair for Fairfield's RAGBRAI experience there. Ron, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So tell us about the challenges you've been facing over the last few days.
Well, it's probably no different than really anybody else. You're trying to find a way to take care of the campers, the bikers, by getting host families. You've got campgrounds. You're trying to make sure that you've got all the teams situated and everybody's taken care of. And, of course, you want them to be safe as well. So there's a lot of work goes into that. There's like 20, 21 committees, and every overnight has this situation. So we had the RAGBRAI through here in 2013, so it's only been 6 years. A lot of the people, not including me, have been through this before. So you know, you're not reinventing the wheel. You're just trying to make some adjustments and improvements on it. And this is a little different for us because we've always been that last overnight town on Friday night. And so kind of have to up our game because we're going to be the Thursday overnight town this year.
Right. In 2013, I was on that ride and actually remember overnighting, putting up my tent outside of a, I believe, a high school there in Fairfield. And going in to use the showers in the high school. So that was, your community was very accommodating then. I expect no less this time. Of course, Fairfield, the home of Maharshi University there. How will they add to the flavor of this year's ride?
Well, you know, having Maharshi University of Management in Fairfield makes us a very, very diverse community, unlike a lot of communities in Iowa. They're going to actually give tours, and here's the good news about that. They're going to be on air-conditioned buses. So,
wow.
You know, if it's a little too warm for people, they just want to just get out of it. I think we're supposed to be like mid-80s on Thursday, according to the latest. But there's going to be tours that start at our Sondheim Center, which is just north of our square where most of the entertainment is. And they're leaving every half an hour. They got two buses, so it'll be staggered, and they're out for an hour with people that actually are connected with the university that'll be, you know, guides as they go through it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I imagine you have people on the committee who did help plan the 2013 RAGBRAI. What have you learned? What were the sort of veteran voices saying about we've got to do a better job here or we've got to pay extra attention?
I don't know if there was much of that. I will tell you this. The entertainment, what I hear and what I've seen, because they put the promos on, is going to be outstanding. We got our lead band is out of Oregon. They play coast to coast. They're called No Limits. I've never heard of them before, but I've seen the promo on them, and it's fantastic. It'd be something the riders will like. They actually are a regular at Caesar's Palace. So, yes, Las Vegas Caesar's Palace. So they're going to be really good. And then the band that plays right before them, Brat Pack Radio is out of Minnesota, and they're a big-time party band as well. So a lot of energy for our theme, which is steampunk mashup glow party, if you will.
Steampunk mashup glow party?
Well, you know, I've never even heard of steampunk before. I'm 69 years old.
Okay.
Steampunk is kind of a combination of the old Victorian with the futuristic scientific stuff. So I've learned a little bit, but if you think I'm a you know, expert on this, I'm not. But we are doing a lot of steampunk-type things, and there will be people that will understand the steampunk that will be in those 10,000 riders and 10,000 or so support people. And so we've got a big mashup glow party. In fact, if you come down to the square for the entertainment, you will, if you were wearing a white T-shirt with neon colors, which we actually are selling, and I have one. I wanted to wear one specifically. You are going to glow in the dark. We're going to have a glow party. It's going to be really cool.
Okay, show up in Fairfield on the evening, Thursday evening, with a white T-shirt or some kind of white shirt that you don't mind getting glow paint on.
Well, it's not paint. You're just going to glow. There's going to be a black light effect that's going to go on. There's been a lot of work been put into this. I actually saw the decorating committee, and they've built some airplane that it's got a steampunk look to it. And we actually have the Carnegie Library, which is located. It's actually a museum now. It used to be our library. It's a block off the square, and they actually have one of those old bicycles with the wooden wheels. The front wheel is higher than the back wheel, the old school Victorian type.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they've got that on display. So
right. I've
if
actually
you want
seen,
to see that, that'd be perfect.
I've actually passed one of those being ridden on RAGBRAI. I could not believe seeing it. Somebody was riding it across the state, in fact, at least on the day I was on. Anyway, Ron, we've run out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, telling us a little bit about Fairfield's part in this year's RAGBRAI. Ron Hunter Doss, publicity chair for Fairfield. Thanks, Ron.
Well, thank you very much.
And let's go a little bit further down the trail to talk with Dustin Roth. Dustin is the RAGBRAI publicity chair for Burlington. Dustin, are you there?
I am, Ben. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us here. Burlington on the river. I don't know, has this ever happened before? We have two towns on the Mississippi.
No.
This is a first.
Yes.
In 47 years.
It is. It's, It's very unique to us because Burlington is usually the traditionally we're about 10 years apart is little usually when we host RAGBRAI. So this year they threw us a curveball, and instead of being the final community, we are the final overnight community, which we are extremely excited about. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something different, and I think the riders will really love it.
Mm-hmm. So what is Burlington teeing up this time?
Well, we have got a ton of things going on. It just so happens that our Des Moines County Fair is happening at the same time as we have RAGBRAI. So there's lots and lots of activities going on throughout the community as riders will be coming in.
Mm-hmm. What aspects of Burlington, if people are not acquainted with it and they're in there for a few hours, what is a good thing to visit on your bike?
Sure. There are a few things. As they come into town, the Des Moines County Fair will be almost right by where they come in, so they can definitely come check that out. Once they get to their campsites, they'll for sure want to come down to the party area. It will be held downtown Burlington, right on the riverfront. Our party is happening right in between our Port of Burlington and the Memorial Auditorium Convention Center here, right in the big parking lot. So riders will be able to, you know, enjoy live music right there while enjoying the view of the mighty Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the people at the Des Moines Register, RAGBRAI people there, give you quite extensive information on how you should prepare for this earthquake of riders that enters town.
Yes.
And what are some of the valuable lessons you get from the Register people?
Well, there are so many. They essentially give us what we have affectionately called the RAGBRAI Bible of how to do things. Because being an overnight, we're not necessarily used to that. There's a lot of different things that we had to really figure out here in the last few months. You know, normally where the people show up, they dip their tires and they go home. But like everybody before us, now we are finding places to host and house, you know, 20,000 riders or 20,000 plus people that come into town, and just how to tackle that, how to get people around, make sure people are entertained, make sure people are fed, and that people have a great time while they're here.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way to gauge, has anyone gauged the economic shot in the arm that a community gets with being an overnight town?
I believe it was last year in Iowa City they did a study where it was, and I apologize if this is not correct, but I believe it was $30 to $40 a person on average that they spend. So, you know, you're looking at, depending on how many people show up, you know, somewhere in the area of $1 million, $1.5 million economic dollars impact on a community for people being here for, you know, less than 24 hours, which is, it's staggering when you think about it.
And of course, the best of all cases is that people come there maybe for the first time as a rider and they say, hey, Burlington, I want to come back here and visit and spend some more time, right?
Exactly. And that's why we're just trying to put our best foot forward now that we have people here instead of just for a few hours, possibly. We have them for the entire night where they can explore, you know, all of Greater Burlington and just see all of the amenities we have and just see the cool vibe in town that we have. It's going to be fantastic.
Dustin, give us an idea of how many people in Burlington, in your community, have been at work here preparing, organizing for this event next week.
Sure. We've had hundreds of people. I think our planning committee is made up of about 30 core members, and then it obviously breaks off into multiple committee members. So I would say we have the core group is 50 plus, but then once you factor in all of the volunteers throughout the community, we'll be in the hundreds for sure, making sure that riders have a fantastic time and that they're ready to rally to the alley once they get into Greater Burlington.
Right. And remind us again about Snake Alley, what that is and why,
yes,
as a rider, you'll want to visit that.
You'll definitely want to do that. So every year Burlington has its Snake Alley is – it actually a year or two ago was listed by Ripley's as the number one odd spot in America. It is it's very steep, curvy hill made of bricks that is in our downtown. So people will definitely want to check that out down there. we have a Snake Alley challenge for people when they come into town. I know everybody's going to be tired from their hours of drive, but if they want to come down and try to make their way up this alley, we've got a little bit of a prize, an I Conquered Snake Alley prize for people if they make it to the top. It's going to be really, really fun.
Okay.
So definitely check it out.
Thanks for telling us a little bit about Burlington and RAGBRAI, the 47th annual RAGBRAI coming through Burlington at the end of next week. Dustin Roth, thank you very much in Burlington.
No problem. Thank you, Ben.
I want to remind you that IPR's newest podcast, Bike Shorts, is up there. You can subscribe to it. Limited series daily podcast episodes. Subscribe now by going to your favorite podcast platform and searching for Bike Shorts. Subscribe so that you don't miss. Next week, I'll be on the ride, and you'll be hearing my highlights along with Team NPR, No Pie Refuse, Scott Horsley, Clay Masters, Kyle Munson, many others. And of course, who knows, riders you may know who are on the ride this year, perhaps you. We hope we'll hear your voice as well, perhaps on this very program or on our podcast, Bike Shorts. River to River is produced by Shirley Wong, Rick Brewer, and Caitlin Harrop. Help today also from Stephanie Nobrega. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.